we'll go to text 13.
देहिनो अस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहांतरा प्राप्ते धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति। देहिनो अस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहांतरा प्राप्ते धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति।
As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from the boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change.
So this verse, it's very often quoted. First of all, you can mark it as a star because this you have to memorize. This is a memorization verse. So that's very important. And this is very often quoted. And it's a very basic verse, basic sloka. But it's very difficult to... So even I want to make, you know, what is this?
Something statement. Right?
Like, you know, even we have not realized this one. Actually, this is so basic. It's
confess.
So difficult to, you know,
confess.
I want to confess that, you know, this is the ABCD of the spiritual knowledge, actually. That we are not the material body, we are the spirit soul. That's where this is a logic. It proves that logic, that, you know, after we leave the body, we exist after leaving the body. So that's why we need to memorize and we need to understand clearly. So when we talk to somebody, right, we can convince others also. So it's that basic, we need to know ABCD to convince others.
So let's elaborate on the verse. So what does the verse say? Krishna says, as the embodied soul. So embodied soul means soul who has a material body. Continuously passes in this body. So while in this body, it passes from boyhood to youth to old age. So the same soul, the body is changing, but the soul is same. The soul similarly passes into another body at death. So as the body is changing, so soul is remaining same. Similarly, at the moment of death, it's just changing of a body. It's like changing of a dress. Later on, Krishna elaborates that with the example of changing the dress. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So if, like for example, Arjuna, right? He's saying, oh, death is dangerous. Like, oh, I don't want to kill these people. But Krishna is saying, you know, if you are a sober person, you should not be affected. It's just like changing and it's like removing this coat and wearing another coat. So why should you be, while, you know, if you lose your boyhood and coming to youth, will anybody cry? Oh, many people want to grow up, at least, right? Of course, youth, nobody wants to lose. That's another thing. But we don't say, you know, oh, I wish I was like that small body, like that. And all our parents, everybody identify us as us. So this verse also stresses that the difference between soul and the temporary body. The soul remains fixed, whereas body keeps changing. So that's what also is a theme. It's going to be covered in a couple of verses. Where Krishna says, you know, soul never changes. But the body keeps changing. The body, material body, temporary nature changes. The soul never changes.
So, but when the body keeps changing, you can still see it with your bodily eyes. You know that the body is changing, but the soul is same. But when the soul passes from one body to another, you cannot see it with material eyes. Maybe that's why it's hard to follow that concept.
Yeah, basically the...
Like you know that it happens, but
we don't see it.
Because that
the main thing is, for us, we relate to that person with that body, right? He may be there, he or she may be there somewhere else, but they cannot talk to us affectionately or,
yeah.
You know, we have that tie of affection, we have something we gain in that relationship. So, we feel separation from them, basically.
Right.
You know, we miss that connection, that's what mainly we feel. Because we know eternally they are there, somewhere they are there. But you know, you can't access them, as you're saying, right? You can't access them. So, you know, if previously I was in a trouble, I used to share with my dad, you know, now I cannot share. Like all these things,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But the separation pain will remain there, right? Even though you know a lot of knowledge, you know very well, okay?
Yes.
Soul will exist. But the separation pain that you cannot talk again, the pain will still remain there. Right?
Yes, yes.
That's why
normal. That's
why it says dhiras. You have to become dhira.
Sober.
So
dhira means like, it doesn't mean that we should not have emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't negate that, you know, we become like, you know, mechanical,
stone kind of
like stone-like thing. We have feelings. But that should not stop our service. Let's say, you know, some people become very depressed, right? Like if the most dearmost one passes away, you know, they lose all aim in life. Like they stop maybe even eating, sleeping, and they say, like, you know, what's the purpose of my life now? Some very rich man was there. He had only one son, and he very everything he had. All his thing was there in that son. And suddly he passed away, and that's all.
Prabhupada gives this example, you know, Rockefeller?
Yeah.
Third of Rockefeller, right? So he had a son. So that son was he was interested in this Africa, they have that place, right? Old lions, safari. So he usually goes for, you know, he used to go for safari and all. So then, so when he was on the safari, the tribal people, they caught him and they killed him. Because the tribal there, it's all, you know, they eat, like, you know, they don't know what's, you know, this thing tribal. So then, until that point, Rockefeller was very, you know, the happiest man, he used to tell. So then they had an interview on the television. Then they asked him, like, you know, your son is gone now, so what's your, you know, mindset? He told, I will never be happy in my life again. So, he told, in any point of time in my future, I will never be happy because I lost my son. So, because it's on the bodily platform. He had a bodily conception. When you have relationship on the bodily conception, then when you lose something, you will have that much pain. We will discuss that, yeah, pleasure and pain.
The same thing in spiritual conception also, you'll feel pain. That's why that's even more painful actually. Because the spiritual attachment is even more deeper, right? Like for example, person who guides us in our spiritual life or spiritual master. Mm-hmm. Like these people are very dear because they are bringing us closer to Krishna. When we feel, you know, we are moving away from them, that pain is even more deeper than normal, you know, we lost somebody, like dearmost friend or father or somebody, right? That's even more deeper. But that is also real. That is actually they say the separation brings more closer, but it's reverse. In material world, the physical separation takes people far away. Like they say, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Like you'll forget that about that person. But the separation in the spiritual concept makes you remember that person more and more, and that increases your attachment to that person. So it acts reverse. That brings you more closer to Krishna. Because remembering a devotee is much, it's devotional service.
I don't know how many people you have noticed, basically in temple we celebrate appearance and disappearance days. Mm-hmm. Have you heard?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we do it as a festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even the disappearance days, it's considered as a festival. Because we know that as a person, like for example Prabhupada disappearance day, we do it very grandly. Appearance day also, we do it very grandly. Because we know Prabhupada is there. Because we relate on the soul, right?
Yeah.
Spiritual soul platform. That's why we know he is gone from our sight, whatever material vision, but he exists spiritually. So, and also we can always relate, you know, with how we all have relationship. We'll discuss more. Pleasure and pain, yeah, we'll discuss that, yeah.
Since every living entity is an individual soul, each is changing his body every moment, manifesting sometimes as a child, sometimes as a youth, and sometimes as an old man. Yet the same spirit soul is there and does not undergo any change. This individual soul finally changes the body at death and transmigrates to another body. And since it is sure to have another body in the next birth, either material or spiritual, there was no cause for lamentation by Arjuna on the account of death, neither for Bhishma nor for Drona, for whom he was so much concerned. Rather, he should rejoice for their changing bodies from old to new ones, thereby rejuvenating their energy. Such changes of body account for varieties of enjoyment or suffering according to one's work in life. Such changes of body account for varieties.
Account means it's because of. Sir, changes of body are because of...
For varieties of enjoyment, suffering. Okay. So Bhishma and Drona, being noble souls, were surely going to have spiritual bodies in the next life, or at least life in heavenly bodies for superior enjoyment of material existence. So in either case, there was no cause of lamentation.
Okay.
We can stop.
Any man who has perfect knowledge of the constitution of the individual soul, the super soul, the nature, both material and spiritual, is called a dhira, or most sober man. Such a man is never deluded by the changes of bodies.
Yes, we can stop there. So, we'll discuss. So first we'll go line by line. There are a few points we can... So everybody agrees that's the... Body changes every moment.
Yes.
Right?
Did we come across six transformations of the body so far?
I think in the introduction? We discussed.
So what are they?
Body grows.
First it takes birth.
Takes birth.
Grows.
Stays
same.
Sometime.
Then
grows old.
Offspring is there, right?
Yeah, produces
offspring.
Offspring remains same. Dwindles and disappears.
Vanishes. Six. So even, do you know... So the material body is basically made up of cells, right? So do you know in the science field itself, how often the cells change?
7 years. It was told around the time.
So the whatever cells we have, so the all the cells, they get replaced in every 7 years. So that means, anyway, the cells change every moment actually. We have millions of cells, right? So they keep changing. New cells born and the old ones die. So that means every moment we change our this thing, right? The body keeps changing. But in every 7 years, you have lost all your cells. And you have a new, basically like a new body kind of thing. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. He's changing his body every moment. Even if you take a picture, right? If you take, you know, our picture when you are in school or like nursery or in... I have one picture like, you know, first grade or something. I couldn't even make out. I cannot even tell now that that was me. Because I have a completely different body.
So then here, let's elaborate on, you know, what's the difference between soul and the body, right?
The
like, that's, huh?
No, that's the next one, yeah.
So Mataji, I have a question. So, now the soul has desire, right? That's what we are trying to do
fulfill
through our body. So that means... how do I put this? So when we are trying to act out our desires, correct? So the soul, how is it not changing, or how is it, what is it that the soul is trying to achieve through that? It's trying to do something through that, right?
Yeah, it's always desire.
Right.
So the soul is, what is the characteristics of the soul?
Satchitananda, right?
Yeah, so it's always blissful.
Right.
So it want to be always blissful.
Correct. So it's trying to act out something.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens is when you come in contact with the material elements,
right?
Because see, the basic thing is, so we are all of us, we are in the material spiritual world. So then we know we are all with Krishna one part of time. Then when we saw Krishna enjoying, right? Krishna, because he is the only Purusha. Krishna is the only Purusha, or Narayana is the only Purusha. Then when we saw that, so slow. Then we started getting
jealous.
And then that turns into envy. So, but in envy, in spiritual world, there is no place for envy. So when we become envy, immediately we'll drop into material world. So when the spirit soul comes in contact with the material energy, that's how the material nature, based on your desires, it awards you the material body.
Okay.
So your spirit soul is getting a material body. Basically, as she said, it's a covering. Like a coat, different, you keep changing coats. So you get a material body.
Mm-hmm.
Through material body, the spirit soul acts through the material body using the senses.
Okay, Prabhu, I have doubt.
Yeah.
Are you saying soul as desires or the senses as
no,
desires?
No, no, no. Soul. Soul is always
desires.
Blissful. Always, it's knowledgeable. It's Sachidananda Vigraha.
Soul has this. Soul is...
So soul
is a conscious element.
Got it, right?
So
that's its eternal position.
Okay.
It's a spiritual, it's a blissful, it's a eternal, right? It's always
that's
like that.
So we saw that line, right? Account.
Yeah, yeah.
The ages
yeah,
makes the decisions, everything, right?
Yes.
say, I'm not taking any decision when I'm a child, right? Even though it's the same soul. When I go grow up, I make all the wrong decisions.
Yes.
So what is it again, still the same soul?
Same soul, but the... See, that's why, so the material nature, when you grow, right? Okay, let me give you this basic. For example,
what is the question?
No,
what's the question is, why the desires are changing?
If the desires are soul as desires...
So why sometimes some desires come, but sometimes some desires don't come?
At the age, why I'm getting this age, I'm getting this desire, why it is not happening?
I think Prabhu is answering that. Yeah.
So I wanted to give this example. For example, if you see, for example, sexual desire. When you are a baby, you don't have it.
Correct.
So what happened to that? What happened to the desire?
It's
unmanifested. It's not manifested because your body
cannot facilitate
that desire.
So it's all there in a seed-like form in the soul.
It's there.
But the mercy of the Lord is, it doesn't manifest until there's a facility to fulfill that desire.
Hmm.
Otherwise, you just get frustrated, right?
Right.
As a small child, if I have a desire and I cannot fulfill through my body, I'm just going to get frustrated. So when the time comes where the body can facilitate it, it's like as if some outburst of desires. That's why.
So that everyone gets the body based on their desires.
Exactly.
So that's what's the main.
Exactly.
Okay.
So based on our consciousness, you get a body when you come in contact with the material. Basically, next verse it discusses. So when you come in contact with the senses, automatically, you know, your desires, everything will start. It's there inside. It's not that we don't have it.
Yeah.
It's there. It's just that manifesting that one.
Okay. Right? Which desire is the original desire of the soul? We don't know.
No, it's always
everything.
Serving. You're always...
Your original
position is to serving.
Serve the Lord.
Service attitude, serving the Lord. But when the envy comes, it covers that whole thing.
And the same desire, Krishna later on explains... Third chapter, I think.
Yeah.
How essentially the love. See, originally in the spiritual world, living entity serving the Lord. The only thing it has is love for the Lord. That love, as Prabhu is saying, when it comes in contact with material mode of passion, that same love converts into lust. So lust is enjoyment for me. Love is for Krishna, right? So the same love converts now into lust. So we have now, if you see, infinite propensity to enjoy ourselves, right? So, if you have to make a material calculation, you can see we all have that much propensity to love Krishna. You can see, right? Like we may say, you know, oh, how much I can, you know, I can chant only one round, I can only do this much service, but you know, I cannot do, right? But actually, if you see how much propensity we have in gaining for ourselves, all these things can be converted into love for Krishna. That means that much more we can love Krishna. Even that, and that's the roadmap to go to spiritual world. All this lust has to be converted into love for Krishna. Then we can go back.
The destination point of view, God, it means as question came, it's just like a further question. What is the original desire of the soul when, like, let's say one person is dying, there may be some one desire, maybe. So he will get birth.
Yeah.
Soul has like so many, in childhood you have different kind of desire, in youth you have different kind of desire, in your old age you have different kind of desire.
Yeah, that's true. You get
so basically sum total of all the desires, destiny, material nature will take care of. And there will be sequence of bodies waiting for us. It's not just one body. To fulfill all the desires, right?
These desire, as far as my thinking, this desire is coming as far as things are coming to me. Let's say I am getting youth, I am building new desires at the runtime. Okay,
no, every
this
time.
Is my new desire.
That's why whenever you come in contact with sense objects, your desires will pop up. Your desires will... So that's why you should have the knowledge, what is the right desire, what is not right desire, and how to use it in service of Krishna. See, when you use anything in service of Krishna, you don't get any karma, right? See, basically we have a desire, so when you act on it, you accumulate karma, action or, right? You make some action, you accumulate something, pious or impious credits. So based on that, you get a next body. So at the point of death, so whatever your consciousness, whatever your desires, that's the next body you are going to get.
Yes. But as soon as I got the body, I will, based upon that body, I will build some new desires, right? Let's say I will got some horse body. So I will bring something related to the horse, that horse will get feel better.
Yeah, so what happens
so
here?
Will change.
No, so what happens is, so this is very interesting. So once you go into a animal bodies, right? Basically low birth, this thing, it's all evolution. You don't have any control on your self.
And also you cannot generate karma in those bodies.
You don't generate
all
karma.
You're doing is just burning.
So you go
until you finally
evolution.
Come to human body where you have a choice, you can make a choice. That's why you're responsible for that choice.
Yes.
That's why you are responsible for the body you take again.
So only in the human life you have intelligence to decide which one to do. Like that. That's why we are here. The animals, they are forced by material nature to go through the that whatever body they have taken.
There
they don't have any chance.
Yeah. There is a hierarchy of
yes.
there in the picture. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether
that,
we have
so karma balance is the same for all animals. I think it's only for the humans is when you
can
have a it can come down or go up.
If,
based on
for example, if you take tiger, it kills, right? It doesn't accumulate karma. It doesn't get karma.
Okay.
Tiger. So because it knows the next body after the tiger, whatever that in the nature, it gets that body automatically. So if I hear properly, I think
how
so I have to follow the hierarchy every time if I go to a lower.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
It's not
like. And it's not
of
one.
Course there could
it's
be
8.4 million species.
There
of
could
life.
Be special mercy cases.
Yeah.
Like some devotee comes by and throws some prasadam and the dog eats it. Then you know next life you
there
can be a human
of,
body.
Yeah, that there are
always special cases.
There is mercy. So whenever you know somebody merciful, if they come in contact with any of this species, and if they want to really you know save that species, if they give some prasadam, for example, some dogs, right? In for this one like Vrindavan, we say we go to Vrindavan. So it said that in Vrindavan, even the monkeys, the dogs, all those things, that's their last body in the material life, because they have committed some offense to somebody. So that's the only reason they have taken. First of all, taking birth in Vrindavan, it's topmost. It's not easy. So when they take that, even the monkey's birth, right? So that's their last attachment to the material world. So once they finish that life, they're going to go back to God. So like that, there are cases of mercy, somebody gives some prasadam. There are cases where Chaitanya Prabhu and all, he gave, you know, just food to the dog. Then immediately that passed away and it got its spiritual body. There are cases like that. We have, in scriptures, we have read that one.
But how many desires are, so if it's Sachidananda Vigraha, how it's like an
So
our desires seem to be not only varying but also infinite.
So it said that it's like, you know, the desires are compared to a rivers, small rivulets, flowing to the ocean.
Small what now?
Rivulets or river, small flow of water. Yeah, streams of water flowing into the ocean.
Okay.
So it's continuous, desires are continuous. They keep, it's not one. You cannot stop the
desires.
That's why our...
And it's varying also, right? It's varying as well as it's infinite.
Yeah, it depends. For example, here, I had a lot of desires, right? Coming here, I think I shared car, own sports, this thing, right? So I had a very strong desire. But what happened to that desire? I tried to change it for Krishna service. So same desires. Desires will be there. It's not that, you know, I don't have desires. I have a desire. But I want to use that desires in service of Krishna. Then, basically we have to dovetail. We have to learn how to dovetail our desires.
Mm.
Otherwise you will be pulled. See, we cannot have two legs in two different boats. At some point, you cannot keep, you know, at some point only you can go. After the, you know, they go separately, you need to jump either or other. So that's why always we need to dovetail our desires.
Mm.
So as you're saying, Prabhu, desires are infinite, right?
Yeah.
Infinitely we can engage those desires in Krishna's service.
Mm.
That's the thing. Slowly we have to pick one by one.
It's not that
things,
yeah.
And then
yeah.
Find out how to use this desire in Krishna's service. If some things are like, you know, impossible, they cannot be used. Those things we have to get rid. Like these are four regulative principles, right? Minimum, basic minimum. Illicit sex, like all those things are... You can say, I have this desire, I am going to use it in Krishna service. There is no way it's possible. So there are some things which cannot be used. But rest of it, everything, more, as much as possible, can be used.
So that's why...
We figure out
examples,
that,
like few examples of desires that we can use in Krishna service.
See, like for example, maybe... You know,
like one thing is we want to eat good food, so have prasadam.
Yeah, starting
obvious.
Point, right? If
yeah.
you have a
you like cooking,
desire.
Let's say. You like cooking and throwing parties and things like that. So then, you know, cook nice food and offer prasadam and bring devotees. Or, you know, even your friends home, serve them prasadam. So your propensity of cooking, everything will serve. But now Krishna is in center. Mm-hmm. So that will be more and more purified and more satisfying.
And Arivilas Prabhu always says, you know, some people have, you know, he just gives example. So he says, you know, aerobics or something, right?
The exercise, right?
Arivilas Prabhu keeps always saying. So instead of going there, you come to the temple, kirtan,
free,
you dance here. So that desire, whatever you have there, it can be used here. And here, you know, you get exercises and also you will be pleasing to Krishna also. For, you know, his pleasure you will be dancing. So that way, you know, you saw that how it, you know, you can
and
be.
Similarly singing also, right? Somebody learns so nice singing, you can sing for Krishna.
Yeah, you learn, just instead of learning whatever that music songs or film songs or something, bhajans you sing and you can sing nicely. No, anything. Krishna is infinite.
Yeah.
Krishna
Swami,
is infinite.
Swami is getting a
right?
lot of hints now. Yeah. We'll be on the way. You know?
No, as we know, Krishna is infinite. His energy, his potencies are infinite.
Mm.
And even we have infinite desire, so it always can be used. It's not that, you know, we cannot use it. And to use that thing, we need to know proper channel.
Yes,
that's the whole thing. Everything finally comes down to the knowledge. We can have only knowledge or ignorance, right? If you are in ignorance, nobody can help. When you try to have, when you have knowledge, it can be used improperly. That's the whole thing of sharing. Yeah, it's very interesting. We'll learn more. It's very.
So in the spiritual world, you said that because we were envious,
yeah.
Krishna is when we got that, right?
Yeah.
So why were we envious there?
Because they
want to be enjoyed.
Because there everything is centered around Krishna.
Everything is
the material world there. I mean, the material world is the cause of all our envious.
No. Free will is always there.
Free will is
constituent of the living entity, right? So there, all you see is everything is surrounded around Krishna. Everybody is, you know, making garland for Krishna, making sweets for Krishna, making everything is around him. Then one time we think, you know, why he has to be center? Why can't I?
Oh.
That very thought itself is finished. You start going down actually.
When we are saying thought, like in material nature, we have a mind because mind will have so many thoughts.
There is spiritual mind. There is spiritual mind.
All
the elements are there in spiritual mind.
We have the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that we
intelligent.
Don't.
Spiritual gopis are there, extremely intelligent in serving Krishna. You can't beat
them.
Material nature only means this mind is disturbing us, not
there. Then that mind helps you serve Krishna.
So there.
So when you say free will, you mean that's like
choice.
Mind.
Huh?
It's not the mind, it's not the intelligence.
Soul. It's a soul
it's
has
the
that.
Soul has the free will.
See, soul, right now we have free will, right?
See, today
free
you could
also
come,
it's
you cannot
free will,
come.
It's even spiritual. It,
yes.
It's all because it's
a
part and
nature.
Parcel of the spirit soul.
Soul.
Free will. Nobody can, even Krishna will not disturb that free will. Because if he takes away free will, then there is no love, right? It becomes like a communist government.
Yes.
You know, he'll make, you know, just make what? Dictatorship. It will become a dictatorship.
Some people love communist government.
Yeah, sorry, dictatorship. So that's why Krishna, even he doesn't touch the free will. He gives you the free will because only when you realize that, you know, you're part and parcel of him, then you will use that free will to serve him. But if you become a dictatorship, maybe one day you love, two day you love, not really love, but, you know, forced love. Then after some time you will get sick and you know you will have fight or you know.
So we don't say that free will has been
called misused. Free will is misused.
Yeah.
Free will is misused because like for example intelligence is basically covered, right? That's the reason why you know we are so attracted to all the senses and all that
yes.
stuff, right?
Yeah.
But free will is devoid of all of this stuff. I mean free will does not have that.
No, free will can be misused.
Can be misused.
Misused. Yeah. Yes. If it's rightly used, we use it in Krishna service. If it's misused, we use for our enjoyment. So it's always negative and positive.
Okay, so intelligence is used in order to dictate what you want to do with the free will.
Yeah.
So exactly, basically,
the hierarchy is...
Sometimes desire, soul may say, you know, out of conditioning, let's say we know all this, like, okay, this is bad, that is bad, we know. Let's say this is not good for devotional service. But out of conditioning, we have, like for example, I think 26 years continuously I might have watched TV infinitely. So that conditioning is so strong. So now maybe, you know, I have enough engagement so I don't get pulled or whatever. But once I go to India, all I have is, you know, that's the main thing going on, right? So I can see how much it pulls, the conditioning comes out. So then, no, my sister is there, and once in a while, oh, maybe one or two, you know, like devotional movies, it's okay, what is there? Like that, you know, like that, it goes on like that. So when that happens, out of conditioning, if we are forced, our desire starts saying, you know, let's exercise this. That's when intelligence can say, you know, okay, no, let's not do this. But then we need association, that's the whole point. Alone we cannot do.
See, but why did the free will come into picture there? Because with intelligence you made a decision.
Free will said, either, you know, I can stop watching movies, or I can say, now I have chance, no devotees are there around, my sister is there, my parents are there, they will be happy if I am mixing with them. No, I have all these justifications I can make. Okay, there is, it makes sense, and after 15 years I am going to India, I am going to US, I am going to chant, and all these things will go away anyway from my mind. So, right, this free will is saying, okay, let's do it. Soul is saying, let's do
desire.
So, desire is there out of conditioning nature. Soul is saying, let's exercise it. Let's act on the desire.
Okay.
Free will is acting on the desire.
Okay.
Right? When we act on desire, but intelligence can say, okay, no, don't do it.
So, have you got two thoughts anytime? Like, you know, something says, you know, do this. And something from inside, no, it's maybe not the right thing, don't do it, right? So basically that's where, that's the intelligence acts, try to come into picture.
Mm.
Most of the time it tries to overrule the mind. See, we have mind, then we have intelligence. That's hierarchy. I think we are going to come some verses. First we have senses, then we have mind, then we have intelligence, then we have the...
Mind, intelligence, false ego.
False ego.
Then the soul.
Then the soul. Ego? Ego, not ego. False ego. Yeah. False ego is different from the ego. The actual
mind, intelligence, ego.
Yeah. So, the senses should... So, this should be the hierarchy. Intelligence should always control the mind. Mind should always control the senses. Right now, it's different way. We are control
senses
of the senses.
Once senses say something, everything falls apart,
correct.
Right?
Yeah. Because
we just go act on that.
We go under the control of senses.
Mm.
Most of the time. At least I know for sure, you know.
I am... Yeah.
Even I experience all the time, you know, if I want something to eat, right, for some sweet or something, if I like, I forget everything. I just keep eating.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, you have, so we say senses, right, that you want to eat something, that's like, so
your,
what is bad in
tongue?
No,
tongue.
That's right. Yeah. So what happens, you have a rasgulla, right, you have a rasgulla. So you can eat one rasgulla, it's good.
So that's what I'm saying. Even eating one rasgulla is because you are,
no, you can
for
eat.
Your senses, which is good, right?
No, of course, yeah, you can eat one. But sometimes I end up eating more than that.
Okay, that part is what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. So you'll be under the control of the senses.
Okay. You should offer it first.
See, we told soul as the desires, right?
Yeah, it's always.
Okay. If I want to eat rasagulla, my soul doesn't make that desire. My senses makes that desire, right?
That's where I think that's
what I'm confused.
I got the point.
That's
the
what I'm confused.
So the point is...
All the desires are coming from senses.
Okay,
right?
So the fundamental... Okay, one second.
Let me... Body desires, right?
Yeah, one second. The soul, original desire, as Prabhu said, right? Original desire is just to serve Krishna, right?
Yes.
But the moment we come in touch with material nature... In order to enjoy this world, soul starts identifying with the body. Right? The body.
That's true.
Okay. How many times do we say, you know, I want this? I is actually soul. But actually, it's actually, you know, it's not the soul. The tongue wants it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No, the sense of tongue wants, you know, to taste it. It's not really the soul. Soul is spirit. We can't feed all this, you know, made of all these things. We can't feed
and
it.
Soul will not get fed.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I want this means... I'm identifying with this body and I'm identifying with the desire and I know what was the taste of eating that rasgulla. So I want to taste it again. So main problem is soul, when it comes in contact with material body, it identifies with the body. So then whatever the senses desire as pleasure becomes its desires.
So it's desire.
Exactly. So thinks now this is the way I can be happy. By eating this, by seeing this, Prabhu is going to cover that six different types of senses, right? Different type of...
Soul didn't come into the picture, right? Like, sense got a, like your tongue got a taste, sense said, okay, I want to take another rasgulla, and you will eat it.
Soul is under control of the senses, that's what. Soul
is
under
being
the control
controlled
of
by
the senses.
Didn't the soul in the hierarchy, like,
No, soul is you, but soul is you.
Mataji, I am getting confused now. The senses cannot exist on their own, correct? The senses cannot exist on their own.
No, no, senses cannot exist. See, we are all part and parcel.
Let him complete.
So let's go a little bit logically. So senses can't control. So the senses exist because of the soul, correct?
No.
Or the body.
Senses are active because of the soul.
Okay, senses, the soul is the one that powers the senses.
Yes, okay, correct.
So now, how is it that it is dancing on top of the, it's like you're
exactly.
telling me that, you know, there is a reverse charge flowing into the
yes.
power cord. So it's not making any sense. So
but that's what, okay.
That is
what is the problem. So actually, later on Krishna says about the real hierarchy, Prabhu is saying, right? This is how, if things are going in proper thing, this is how it should be. Sense objects are lower. Sense objects are, you know, all this, you know, what eatable things, seeable things. These are sense objects. Above sense objects come the senses. Right? Okay. This is the real hierarchy, how it should be. Above the senses is mind. Mind, above the mind is intelligence. Above the intelligence is false ego. Above the false ego is the soul. Above the soul is super soul. This should be the ideal hierarchy. In the sense, soul should say to intelligence, do this, don't do this. It should dictate the ego. Ego should tell the mind, do certain things. The mind should say, senses, do like this. Senses should be like servants. Then it becomes Goswami. He becomes Goswami. He can control the senses. But what's happening now is reverse. As soon as sense object comes in front of us, sense object is not there, it's still okay to some extent. As soon as, you know, Rasgulla comes, then immediately senses say, oh, that's all. Yeah, it can stop intelligence, mind, everything, and soul. It forgets that, you know, I should not, this is not even offered, I should not eat. Right? And then completely overpowers and forces the soul to act in an improper way. And once you act in improper way, the desire becomes more stronger. So next time it becomes even more difficult to get out of it.
That part.
Yeah.
So it's considered to the itching.
So this is all.
So this part I'm following logically, right? Now where it loses the logic is that somewhere there the order is flipping, right? So where the sense comes in touch with the sense object.
Basically, uncontrolled senses, they can be so strong that they can completely rule over the mind intelligence. That's the whole thing. It's not about their lower means, you know, they should be less powerful.
Yeah,
they are lower, but they can be, they are like, you know, serpents. They can be so powerful that it can completely, everything topsy-turvy, it can do. That's the whole thing we are not understanding.
Like five horses of that.
Yeah, exactly. Example. So that example chariot. Is given, five horses are like five senses. And then the rein is like the mind and the person driving is the intelligence. Next to him, passenger is the soul.
And that string is that.
String is the mind.
Intelligence.
The rein is the mind.
Mind. And who is intelligence?
Intelligence is the person driving, and the soul is the person sitting there. So if all the senses are controlled, that means the person says, you know, go this, all the horses will go, and then he can reach a destination. But if each horse goes in each direction, then what happens, the person driving cannot do anything and the soul passenger just screams, right? So that's where we are actually. All the senses are pulling in different directions. Sometimes this smell, sometimes this sight, sometimes this, you know, this sound. These things are pulling us in different directions. Soul is just screaming.
Let me rephrase the question in a different way. I'm sorry I'm not getting this, but let's say I satisfy my senses, right? What am I satisfying? Let's say I want to eat something, right? And I eat it.
You're satisfying the lust. That's all. It's because soul is never going to be satisfied by material enjoyment, right? Okay, by nature, if we talk about principles,
right.
Soul is spirit, right?
Correct.
Spirit cannot, matter cannot be satisfied by, sorry,
spirit cannot be satisfied by matter. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So all we are eating, all we are seeing, everything is matter, let's say.
Okay.
Of course, you can do the same thing in spiritual topics. Then it will feed the soul. Then see your soul will be satisfied.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you are just talking in material sense, we are just eating, listening to movies, watching movies, listening music, everything. All mundane sense. Then we are just feeding our senses, feeding our lust. soul thinking that I'm going to be happy doing this, thinking that I'm going to be happy doing this, isn't under the illusion that I'm going to be happy. Actually the fundamental thing is, soul wants to be happy.
Right.
Exactly. So in that pursuit also, the ultimate thing is to be happy.
Right.
But we still haven't come to the point that these things are not really giving me happiness.
That's true. Probably.
So until that time, we keep trying through that.
Okay.
We have similar example I heard from Prabhupada lecture. He gave one example. If let's say you are sitting somewhere in the office and your tongue says, "Okay, I want to eat something that I tasted in far away restaurant." You will suddenly drive and you will go.
Yeah.
So basically, you are serving your sense. In reality, sense is your servant. Not you are the servant of your sense.
Yes.
So that's the reason we are following our senses.
Yes.
No, that's all of our condition. Yeah, that's all of our condition. That's why we are here. Because we are servants of the senses. That's what.
Okay, so now if we all know about this problem, we discuss so much. Let's talk about positive thing. So now we have this uncontrolled senses which are pulling us everywhere. So what is the way out of it? What can we do? It's like as if, you know, we are in this material world, we are stuck. Now what can we do with this body to solve the problem, right? So similarly, we have these senses, we are facing defeat every time. Senses are completely ruling over mind, intelligence, everything, right?
Mm.
So what is the way out?
So not to have sense objects around us.
No.
You cannot.
Then it's like Ajna going to forest.
For example, I always like, if I want to feel like eating rasgulla, I don't even like go and buy it. I don't keep it in my house. I will not end up eating it.
That's okay, but next moment somebody comes with rasgulla finished.
So when you go next time anywhere restaurant passing by, then immediately you see and you get attracted. So that's not the solution for it.
You should not listen to your senses, you should listen to your intelligence, what is what to do.
How to engage your senses in Krishna's service.
Exactly. That's the key.
Oh, I'm Sangeeta
also. So Sangeeta, yes. That's the key. We have these senses, right? Because of misusing the senses in their enjoyment, they have become uncontrolled and completely like wild animals. The solution is use the same senses in service of Krishna.
Mm.
It's there is a very nice verse. Is it that one? I know the last
Nectar
one. Iha iha esya harer dase karmana manasa gira nikilasvi api avastasu jivan mukta uchate. I think this is not the verse.
Nectar
the verse Nectar. Last line of the verse is Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam.
Bhakti Ruchate.
Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. So Hrishikesha, who is Hrishikesha? Did we discuss the
controller
of the senses? So use the senses in the service of the controller of the senses. Right? Use the senses in the service of the controller of the senses. Then the senses will be subdued. These are like wild animals now. But when that senses are used in service of the controller of the senses, they will become tamed. Then they will they will not act like snakes, you know, taking us away. But they will actually act in favor of bringing us closer to Krishna.
And I think eventually senses will get trained as well. Actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they get afraid of something and senses will act by default accordingly. Like,
and these same senses now will act favorably. Senses will say,
those got trained.
Yeah, like for example, initially when we tried to get up early to come to Mangalarti, it was such a difficult thing, get up so early, winter, cold, rain, so much, right? But we, try. Now, automatically, when the time comes, of course, initially it's a struggle still, but it says, let's go. So now the same mind, initially mind was saying, sleep one more hour. Same mind is saying, no, you don't want to miss it. Go, let's go. Right?
We all experience.
So the mind is now become your... That's why later Arjuna also says, mind is a problem to deal with. How do I do? So Krishna says, uncontrolled mind is your enemy. But a controlled mind is your best friend. So we cannot say, I want to exist without mind, without sense objects, let me live. You cannot say, you have to live in the world with the mind, but by... If purifying the mind can be your best friend in Krishna service.
Actually, in text 258 and 259,
that answer is there. How to use your senses?
Yeah.
Talk about saying that, yeah, use the senses and means so that to attain higher consciousness.
Yeah, tortoise.
Yeah, the tortoise.
Yeah, higher taste.
Yeah, so the answer for that we will discuss in text 14. So basically we cannot avoid the sense objects. We cannot close our eyes and say, you know, I don't want to see anything in the world. No, it's not possible, right? You have to go outside, you have to see things, right?
But and still you may be enjoying in the mind, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, but the answer is in the next text, so we'll leave it there. Yeah,
so I have one more question. So I'm just trying to understand the flow from spiritual to material world and back to spiritual world. So we are with Krishna in the spiritual world. We get envious and we come to the material world.
Yeah.
And then in order to enjoy.
Yeah.
And then we, in the process of enjoyment, we accumulate karmas and then take next
other
births to to fulfill, to burn those karmas.
Yeah.
And at some point we burn the karmas and we go back to the spiritual.
Once you realize it, that's in the human life basically. Until like for example, all of us, right? We are trying to
until we'll be like infinite.
Yeah, now we are realizing, right? It's so much pain. Something we are realizing. So we are really struggling to, you know, overcome all the problems. You know, we are trying to go back to spiritual world. So then, yeah, once you go back.
But we are not enjoying. We are like still, we are suffering.
Where here?
Yeah.
Of course, we are suffering. The dukkhalaya shashvatam. That's the.
So it's stamp. Here when we come, we realize that, you know, this is not enjoyment. This is actually pain. In that process, we try to go back to this.
Yes.
Do you remember in the introduction? I like this sentence so much. Actually, the Prabhupada said. Let me just quickly try to search. We exist in the atmosphere of.
Non-existence.
Yeah. In the I will just find
it.
I like that very much. That's just one line, but
material nescience. Bhagavad Gita was delivered for
the purpose of Bhagavad.
Yeah.
That's where it is, right?
Yeah.
No.
No, he's talking about something else.
We are existing
in the
environment of non-existence.
Just
should have controlled it.
Right? The last. You should put a note here. That's okay. Yeah, that's the.
Anyway, you said the statement now.
So, yeah, Prabhupada clearly says that, you know, we are.
I know where it is. Page 6. Our very existence is in the atmosphere of non-existence.
Mm.
Actually, we are not meant to be threatened by non-existence. Mm.
So basically, we don't belong here.
Page 6.
Yeah.
Page 6, first two paragraph.
Yeah.
First, second paragraph.
Yeah.
So that clearly defines, like, you know, we don't belong here, this place. So the reason we are existing here, that's why we don't belong here. This is temporary place. And we are always fearful. A lot of things. Based on. So you want to go back. So once you go back, you would have learnt your lesson. So you'll never try to do the same thing once you learn.
See the time.
8:20.
8:20?
15.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Huh? I think now it's all
Mayavadi. So then let's discuss one more thing. Yeah, this is at least relevant to the text 13 I wanted to discuss.
So we didn't finish this.
Yeah, I think we may have to do it next class.
Okay, let's read. At least read. Let's finish.
We'll just read. I think we'll not be able to discuss.
The Mayavadi theory of oneness of spirit soul cannot be entertained on the ground that spirit soul cannot be cut into pieces as a fragmental person. Such cutting into different individual souls would make a supreme cleavable and changeable against the principle of supreme souls being unchangeable. As confirmed in Gita, the fragmental persons of supreme exist eternally. Sanatana are called Kshara. That is, they have tendency to fall down into material nature. These fragmental persons are eternally so, and even after liberation, the individual soul remains the same fragmental. But once liberated, he lives an eternal life in bliss and knowledge with personality of Godhead.
Eternal life in the city.
The theory of reflection can be applied to the super soul, who is present in each and every individual body and is known as Paramatma. He is different from individual living entity. When the sky is reflected in water, the reflections represent both the sun and the moon and the stars also. The stars can be compared to the living entities and the sun or the moon to the Supreme Lord. The living fragmental the individual fragmental spirit soul is represented by Arjuna. Soul is represented by Arjuna, and the Supreme Soul is the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. They are not on the same level, as it will be apparent in the beginning of the fourth chapter. If Arjuna is on the same level with Krishna and Krishna is not the superior to Arjuna, then their relationship of instructor and instructed becomes meaningless. If both of them are deluded by the illusory energy Maya, then there is no need of one being the instructor and another the instructor. Such instruction would be useless, because in the clutches of Maya, no one can be an authoritative instructor. Under the circumstances, it is admitted that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Lord, superior in position to the living entity, Arjuna, who is forgetful soul deluded by Maya.
Forgotten
soul deluded.
Forgetful. For us it says forgotten.
It's a forgetful soul.
Forget.
It says forgetful in this new edition.
It's
forgotten?
Yeah, in this I have forgotten. Small.
Yeah, I think that's the latest version.
It is forgotten.
Forgotten.
Soul.
Yeah, forgetful makes sense.
No, forgetful makes sense.
Yeah.
Typing. So, let's. So, in this verse, I wanted to discuss. So, we always relate ourselves with the material body, right? So what's the difference between the dead body and the material, like the living person?
The soul, the existence or the absence of the soul.
Right? And what's the... How do you know the soul is present? If the soul is present, how do you know what's the...
Symptom
of the soul.
Consciousness.
And how do you define consciousness?
I am.
Like if I say I'm conscious, how do you...
Your sense will do something. So you thought or your senses will be in use.
Reaction.
So basically the
awareness.
Right? Yeah. If I pinch, right? Like, you know, I can feel the pain or whatever, because the consciousness is pervades the whole body. The soul is present, the consciousness pervades the whole body. That's the symptom of this thing. And also the other point is, no, to realize that we are not the material body. So what do we say all the time? If I have to say, this is?
My body. This is not I body.
My body. So that's what we say, right? This is my body. This is my hand. This is my leg. So if we say, this is my leg, so who is that, you know? It doesn't belong to me.
Who is I?
Who is I, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing, you know, we can usually use to, you know, differentiate between the material, the body or the subject matter, right? Easily.
This one, right? The body is made of chemicals, all this,
These are discussions generally people tell. So if body is made up of chemicals, many people came and argued with Prabhupada also, and some scientists they also, you know, they came up a list of chemicals, what the body is made up of. So then Prabhupada asked one scientist, so we have already a list of, you know, the chemicals which makes up the body.
Can you make a
living entity out of it? He said, no, it's not possible. So we know what chemical constitutes our body, but something is missing. Even if you have all the chemicals, but something is gone.
And all chemicals put together is worth some dollars, let's say.
$20.
Then how much we value for the soul, right? Or we go to any extent to protect ourselves, right? That means we know, you know, soul is more valuable than the body, like that. So.
And also the other thing it said that, you know, basically we say, you know, I am seeing, right? So basically the it said that the soul sees through the eyes. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss, that's why we kind of diverted, I wanted to go through some points.
That's good.
You know, so many discussion, that's good. We discuss, but it's just that, you know.
Mataji, maybe next class or so, then you can also give us like what like the current desires are, you know, other than the four principles. Like you can try to give us like an example of how we can convert it, right? That would be a good thing. So for each of the senses, right? So like for touch,
for the eyes,
something like that.
Oh, there is a very nice section, purport in the Bhagavad Gita itself. I have to look it up, I think, where it is. Mm. King Ambarish Maharaj, how he engages all his senses in service of the Lord. Yeah. So everything, whatever we discussed, he does that.
Okay.
So like for example, he uses his sense of touch by touching a devotee. Legs to walking to the temple. Hands in washing, you know, doing service to the Lord. And nose by smelling the flower offered to the Lord. And tongue by tasting the prasadam of the Lord. So everything.
That
so we'll just read that section once.
Part.
Yeah.
That part
can write
down.
I know what it is. Everyone knows.
But we have to use intelligence. We cannot use so much.
Yeah.
Prove one question. As you were explaining that workflow, senses, mind, intelligence, and then false because then so how
ego.
False like
what is the difference between false ego and ego? No, there it said
the false ego only,
Manu. False
ego? Yeah. You sure?
Yeah.
So how the things will work? Like, to intelligence, I can think something, like some example, but how anything, any action will come, like false ego will come into picture?
False ego is covering it, right? False ego is covering the intelligence.
And how we are overriding
false
ego
is, okay. What is ego? Ego is, I think we discussed that in introduction, right? Definition of ego? The sense of I am.
Sense of I am.
I am dash, right? Whether it's a right thing, then it becomes real ego. If it's a wrong thing, it becomes false ego. I am this body is false ego. I am the soul, servant of Krishna is real ego. So, whatever we are doing is all pervaded by the sense of what I am. So, that's why ego, false ego is more subtle. It's above intelligence. Right? See, for example, the gross desire is I want to enjoy this rasgulla. But that is all pervaded by the subtle element that, you know, I am this body. That's why if I eat this rasgulla, I can be happy.
Yes.
So that's why false ego is above intelligence. If we change the false ego to real ego and everything is in line, then we think, right, you know, I will eat this rasgulla because it's prasadam. I want to honor it. But as a service to the Lord, real ego.
So who will change this to false ego to real ego? Because intelligence is already under the ego.
So we start from ground up. So we first engage the senses in the service of the Lord. When the senses are purified, then gradually mind, intelligence, everything will get purified.
So, okay.
So along with senses, of course, we can intelligently use. For example, the problem with us is now our intelligence is also contaminated. Right? So, intelligence may tell us, you know, do this. This is right for you. Right? That's the whole point. So, that's why later on Krishna says that this intelligence has to be strengthened with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge from the scriptures.
So, you want to say intelligence will correct, train our senses and everything will not engage in Krishna consciousness and false ego will automatically be turned into...
Yes, exactly.
Ego.
Yes, yeah. Gradually, little by little, it's changing. When senses are used in service of Krishna, already our real ego is starting to act, right? That, you know, okay, actually I am servant of Krishna, so let me do service to Krishna. We are already in that real ego aspect. But eventually it takes time where all the false ego goes away. Then all we have is every minute, every second, all we are thinking of is service of Krishna. That's the final stage.